out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, the 16th of April, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. Soon it's going to be Adolf Hitler's birthday. After that, we've got St. George's Day. We're flying through the year at quite a pace. Before we get into today's podcast, I just want to point out we've got two new radio players, HTTPS players. You'll find them linked to on every one of the articles last week and the radio schedules this week. So if you can change your streams over to those, that would be a big help. We've got a 128k one and we've got a 48k one for those of us that are on limited data packages. And we should now be on HTTPS with the radioarian.com site and also with the radio server that we link up to for our live shows. And also the stream. Do check out the stream that we have playing all the time. We do play music in between each one of the podcasts. And it's just good to have it on in the background while you're doing everything else. That's what I do. I have it on in the evenings while I carry on doing everything else that I need to do. That's the beauty of radio. You don't have to sit there and watch it. You can get on with everything else that you need to do. Anyway, today I was hoping to have Max Musson with me, but unfortunately he's not able to make it. I've got to be doing something else on Monday, so this needed to be pre-recorded on Sunday. But next week, we're hoping to either have Max Musson on the Daily Nationalist or on Arian Britannia, one of the two, and he will be the regular co-host. But since I'm here on my own today, I did think I'd finished with the Back to Basics series, where we looked at why white has to mean white, why homosexuality cannot be tolerated, why we need to abolish usury, and why we can't allow race mixing. And those are four most important principles, I guess, in white nationalism. But there are a couple of others, why we need to be anti-feminist, and also why we need to be supporting Christianity. And I thought I'd probably do why we need to be supporting Christianity today, because that's probably a subject that I'm stronger on than just feminism. A lot of people think that Christianity is somehow foreign because there are foreigners living in the Middle East now. But at the time when Christianity began, it was a part of the Roman Empire. Jerusalem was a part of the Roman Empire, and obviously, Christ wasn't actually from Jerusalem or Judea. He was from Galilee, and the first Christians were known as Galileans. They weren't known as Jews. They were Galileans. And it spread out from there into Europe. It spread to Britain, although that's not really very well known by people, but it's in our British chronicles, in our British records, and it's in the earliest records of the Church Fathers. So that was the first place that it came to. And this is because we were all linked up. Britain was linked up with Jerusalem. Jerusalem was linked up with Constantinople, linked up with Ephesus, linked up to these places that are now a part of Turkey. And also, of course, the southern Mediterranean and Italy is all a part of the Roman Empire. And the actual philosophy behind Christianity, it was Greek philosophy. It was a melding together of Greek philosophy and Hebrew philosophy. And the Hebrews were white. I mean, that's quite clear. The official church story is, or the official church teaching is, that Europeans are descended from Japhet. And Japhet had two brothers. One was Ham and One was Shem, and if Japhet was white, that means Ham was white, and it means Shem was white as well. They were both the three sons of Noah and his wife. Now, obviously, if we look at the descendants of Ham today, we see, well, that's Negroes, or mixed race, or Arab types. So, obviously, something happened to Ham to turn him black. And indeed, the Jews have tried to come out with a reasoning for why Ham turned black. They say that it's because Noah cursed Ham's son Canaan, and that's the reason why they're black, because they're descended from Canaanites. But that's the obviously the Talmud's excuse for it, because the Jews clearly thought, well, we have to think up some kind of a reason why the Hamites are black. And that is the actual reason why. Well, it's not because there was a curse that turned them black, but the reason why his offspring turned black is because they interbred with Negroes. That's why Ham's offspring turned black. It wasn't because of any curse of Noah. It was because they interbred with Negroes. And you can follow on from that, and you can say, well, let's look at the Jews today. Well, the Jews claim that they are descended from Shem, yet they don't look anything like the descendants of Japhet. They don't look anything like Europeans. They're quite close to us, but there are noted differences. The nose, the chin, the lips, the forehead, the shape of the body, oversized breasts in the females, sometimes oversized ears in the males, and a definite non-white look to them. So obviously something happened to the descendants of Shem to turn them into what we call today Semites. So there must have been some interbreeding that went on, and of course, yes, we can look back in the history books and we can see that around about 200 BC, there was interbreeding that went on, and the Judeans allowed anybody that came into Judea to call themselves a Judean, and they called them proselytes of the gate or proselytes of justice, and just so long as they got circumcised, they could call themselves a Judean, call themselves a Hebrew. So that's where the mixing occurred. That's what turned them into Jews. And that's what, it was those people, those Jews, that Jesus was calling devils and the synagogue of Satan. And of course, he called Judas Iscariot a devil. And the actual name Judas Iscariot means the Jew Iscariot. And the rest of his disciples, they were all from Galilee, so they were from the tribe of Benjamin. So they weren't even from the tribe of Judah, and they certainly weren't mixed race Jews. Obviously, because the term Judean was same as today, it was the name of the country, not the name of the ethnicity of the people that were living in it. So you had a mix of Hebrew philosophy and religion mixed in with Greek philosophy and religion. And that's Christianity. And if you believe that the ancient Greeks were white, the Hellenic civilization was white, then quite clearly the religion that came from that, which is Christianity, that is going to be white. The Talmud, which is what the Jews follow, is completely anti-Christian and anti-biblical, and it mocks and ridicules the characters from the Bible. It says that Noah was a transsexual, his son Ham had sex with the dog on the ark, Adam had sex with all the animals. It says that the prophet Isaiah, they sawed him in half for speaking badly about the Jews. Of course, we all know what they say about Jesus and the horrible things they say about him, and also about his mother Mary, and how she was a lady of ill repute, to put it politely. All this just blasphemy, really, is the Talmud. And it's all about breaking the laws of the Old Testament. If you think about it today, who is it that's at the forefront of trying to abolish the Ten Commandments? It's the Jews. They don't want to see the Ten Commandments being said anywhere or being publicized anywhere. They wish to get rid of all of that. So the Jews are completely against the Bible. They're completely against Christianity. They were the enemies of Christianity. They put Christ to death. The Pharisees, the people who Jesus spoke against, the Pharisees are the direct ancestors of today's Jews. After the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, they had no more temple, they had no more priests, they had no more sacrifice. This is the Hebrews and the Judeans. They had no more of that. So what happened was these Pharisees eventually wrote down the teachings of men, which is what Jesus says is a load of nonsense in the Gospels. The teachings of men are a load of nonsense. What he was referring to in that was the Proto-Talmud, which was what the Pharisees were teaching alongside the teaching of the Old Testament. So between the years 200 AD to 600 AD, these Pharisees and rabbis wrote down the teachings of men, and that became the Talmud. And they called the Talmud the Torah. They have two Torahs. They have the Torah Shibil Peh and the Torah Shibik Tov, or words to that effect. One of those is the first five books of the Old Testament, and the other is the Talmud. So when Jews say, we study the Torah, what they mean is they study the Talmud. But people that aren't aware of that think that the Jews are saying that they study the Old Testament, or they study the first five books of the Old Testament. But that first five books of the Old Testament, they don't even read. They say that that's just for women and children. That remains in the form of a scroll on the wall of the synagogue, and they take it down once a year, or they show it to naive Gentiles that go into the synagogue. So the idea that Christianity is somehow Jewish is completely false, and it's just to the benefit of the Jews. If you think that Christianity has an intimate association with the West and an intimate association with white people, and it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not, but if you are a white man, then when the Jews are attacking Christianity, you should take it as they are attacking white people. And you may not associate in your mind Christianity with the white race, but everyone else in the world does. The Jews do, the Arabs do, the non-whites do. When they think of white people, they think of Christianity. They think of the white Jesus. And you have to look at all the ancient paintings, the classical religious paintings, and they're not paintings of Jews. They are paintings of white people. And Christianity itself best exemplifies white morality. When you think about it, it teaches that we should lay our lives down for our nation, that there is no greater love than that a man lays down his life for his friends, which means lay down his life for his nation. It teaches us that we should not tolerate divorce. We should not allow women to just dissolve marriages and go off and adulterate with somebody else, because of course that's going to be terrible for any children to have their home broken up like that. And yeah, this is a white man's way of looking at things. We invest a lot of time and energy into our children. We have evolved to, and I don't mean we've evolved from monkeys here, but I mean our society has evolved to have less children, but spend more time with them and on educating them. And when we look at Negroes, their society has evolved to have more children, but less time spent on educating them and teaching them. So the white man's way is to teach, and so that the children can look after themselves well and are going to be upstanding members of the community and are going to survive. And the Negro's way is to just produce lots and lots and lots of children, because some of them might not survive. So two different ways of doing things. Another side to Christianity, which is to do with the white man, is no usury. You know, we should have a sense of loyalty to our nation, where we don't want to be profiting from our own people. It's like trying to profit from your own family. If we look in the Bible, it also says about no adulteration. And this is the reason why in the Ten Commandments, it looks like it's saying, do not commit adultery twice. It says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. That means don't commit adultery. And it says, do not commit adultery. But what that really should say is, do not adulterate, rather than do not commit adultery. And when you think about the word adulterate, what does it mean? It means to dilute a substance with something else. It means to mix two substances together. So what is the substance that is being adulterated when someone commits adultery? Well, it cannot be that it means to cheat on your spouse. It can only mean to adulterate the blood, to adulterate the race. It means to marry a foreigner. And of course, again, in the Bible, it very, very strongly speaks out against marrying strange women. We have incidences in Ezra and Nehemiah where the priest goes absolutely spare upon the realization that the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin have intermarried with strange women. And his solution to the problem is to say, well, you have to divorce every one of these strange women and you have to kick them out along with any bastards that you have sired, and they have to be kicked out of the country. We cannot have them within the nation. And he also points out the fact that it was down to this very fact, marrying strange women, was the reason why they lost their homeland in the first place, and that this was at the root of all their problems. So the Bible is very, very strongly against race mixing and interbreeding. It's also very, very strongly against homosexuality. It's the death penalty for homosexuality, and God makes himself quite clear on what he thinks of it by destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. And these things are associated with the white race. And the not mixing with the other races, that's the only reason why the white race has survived all this time, is because we haven't mixed with the other races. Obviously, we are in Europe, so that made it a lot harder for the dark-skinned races to make their way over here. And it also protected us from the interbreeding that led to the downfall of civilizations such as the Persian civilization, the Assyrian civilization, the Babylonian civilization, the Egyptian civilization. They're all in the warmer parts of the world, and they were all destroyed through race mixing. And we see the proof of that by the people that inhabit them now. They all have a certain percentage of white blood mixed in with them, and they're all mongrels. They're all Arabs, the word which actually means mongrel race, if you look it up in a biblical concordance. So clearly a religion that speaks about this and says that this is central to everything is to not interbreed with strange races. That reflects the white race, that reflects our spiritual soul. As I say, it also speaks out against homosexuality. That is anathema to most races, but we can see that in history. It's always been completely abhorrent to the white race. We used to throw them in the bog and execute them if people were caught. And that's what the Christian Bible says should be done with homosexuals. We also have the idea that we should be charitable to our people. We should not cheat. We should not take bribes. Our justice system needs to be exactly the same for the rich man and the poor man. We need to be not cheating on our weights. In actual fact, I mean, the Bible says that usury should never be used among our own people. Usury is a weapon of war. The Israelites in the Old Testament are told that they should only be using usury against the Canaanites, the nation that they were told to exterminate. So usury was a weapon of war. And what we've done is we've allowed the Jews to come into our countries, and we've allowed them to follow their own laws. And of course, they use usury. And it's through usury that they've managed to get this hold over us and this hold over the banking system. Whereas if we had kept to our Christian rulings, Christian instruction, that never would have been allowed to happen. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, these are rather strange teachings. I haven't heard anyone in my local church ever teaching me this. I never learnt this in Sunday school. I've never seen any preachers out on the street preaching this. And this is because the modern church has become corrupted. The modern church has become subverted in the same way that the modern government, our governments have become subverted. And you don't get any more subverted than opening the borders up and allowing foreign races in and giving them freedom to mate with our women. I mean, that is completely perverse, considering that the state is supposed to be there to ensure that we flourish within our own lands and to protect us from these things, and the state is now doing the absolute opposite. But we don't call for the abolishment of government. We don't say, well, we need to destroy the state. That would be just anarchy. And it's the same with Christianity. Christianity has been infiltrated and corrupted, and it is now very, very, very far from how it originated. And we know that it's very far from how it originated because we still have the Bible. We can still look back at the original writings, and we can see all this in there, that we can see that it's against race mixing. We can see that it's against homosexuality. So regardless of whether the churches are preaching that today or whether they are distorting things, we can see that it is still there. And that's what our ancestors followed. And when I first became a nationalist, I was looking into all of this, and I was thinking, well, there must be something about Christianity that was positive. You know, it cannot be possibly be that it was Jewish, because our ancestors weren't stupid. You know, they would never have taken on something that was foreign. They would never have taken something on that was Jewish. So there must be something in there that was of benefit to them. And yes, there is. If you read through the Bible, you can see that it's obviously of benefit to white people to follow this. And yet, of course, today some nationalists will not bother to actually look into this, and they will think that somehow we were hoodwinked and we were tricked into following a foreign religion. None of that is logical. None of that makes any sense whatsoever. Why would we be tricked into following a foreign religion, especially in Britain, when we never even had any Jews in the country until the 11th century? Christianity had been in Britain for 10 centuries before any Jews came into the country. And during those 10 centuries, we can see that our people were aware of Jews. If you look at Alfred the Great, when he translated the Bible into English, he also wrote introductions to each one of these pieces that he was writing. And in a lot of those introductions, he talks about the Jews. He talks about them being devils, obviously being the most evil people that there are. When he's talking about people doing bad deeds, it's doing bad deeds like a Jew. And he makes a distinction between the Jews and between the Israelites as well, which is a point to note. Because there is a difference between them. When you really look into all of this, and you look into the ethnicity of them, as I was pointing out earlier, you realize that the Jews are the Canaanites of the Old Testament. They are the people that God commanded the Israelites to exterminate, to get rid of. They were no good from the very start. And of course, you know, this is what we say. When you study Judaism, you study Jews, you realize that it's a biological thing. It's within their nature to behave in the way that they do. It's not that they are taught to be like this. Of course, they are taught to be the way that they are, and the Talmud teaches them that. But the Talmud is a reflection of their racial soul, and they are an anti-race. The same as there is a Christ and an antichrist, there is a race, the white race, and there is an anti-race, which is a mongrel race, but that has a diabolical streak within it. So they have a high IQ, and they have certain abilities that you would not expect to find in a mixed race. If you look at the Arabs, they're a mixed race, but they don't have the same abilities that Jews have. Jews have this diabolical streak that allows them to interbreed with other races and still keep that streak within them. So I say they are an anti-race. But the Bible speaks about them in the Old Testament, speaks about these Canaanites, says that they were, you know, they're bad from the beginning. There's no way that they can repent. God doesn't say try to convert these Canaanites. If these Canaanites say that they follow Yahweh, that's fine, don't exterminate them. He says they're bad to the bone. No good can come from them. Kill every one of them, even the little ones. If you don't, they will just grow to be a threat to you. And of course, this is exactly what has happened. These Jews have infiltrated our countries, they have taken them over, they've turned our governments against us, they've turned our people against us, and they've made it so that most of our people don't even know who it is that is doing this to us, and they don't realise that they are behaving in a suicidal fashion by welcoming in refugees and allowing race mixing, which has to be the greatest evil that has ever been done on this earth, is race mixing and miscegenation, as I talked about in the last episode. And this is spoken about in the New Testament. Some people might say, ah, yes, but all the racial stuff is in the Old Testament. Well, no, it's in the New Testament as well. In the book of Revelation, it talks about the children of fornication and how when Christ returns, he will destroy all the children of fornication. That means the children of race mixing. It doesn't mean the children whose parents were having affairs. It means the children of race mixing. Marriage was always about the act of consummating a marriage. It wasn't about a marriage certificate. It wasn't about putting a ring on somebody's finger. It was about consummating the marriage. And a lawful marriage is with one of your own kind. And it says, flesh of my flesh and bone of my bones. So if you are consummating the act of marriage with someone who has a different flesh to you and has different bones to you, then you are not lawfully married. And what you are doing is fornicating. That is fornication. And anyone born of that is a child of fornication. They're also referred to as mamzers. So there's no difference between the Old Testament and the New. And some nationalists today, because they think that the Old Testament was written by Jews and they wish to reject Jews, they try to reject the Old Testament. And that is really daft, because it's the Old Testament that has all the really good stuff in it. The Old Testament lays out the groundwork of what the rules of a society should be, what the common law should be, the death penalty for homosexuality, the death penalty for race mixing, no usury, no feminism, no transsexualism, no transgenderism. All these things are laid out in the Old Testament. And that is how our society should be, and that will guarantee that they work. So there was no need for it to be repeated in the New Testament. People say, well, why didn't Jesus give us a political system? Well, we had the political system. It was all laid out in the Old Testament. If you find something in the New Testament that you think conflicts with the Old Testament, then it is your reading of it that is at fault. It's not that God changed his mind, because he can't change his mind. He's eternal. What he says lasts forever. So when he makes a law, that law lasts forever. And this is why you can tell that the Bible is a holy book, is because it doesn't contradict itself. And if you think over the amount of time that it was written, with the different authors in the different places, it has to be holy just purely by the fact that it doesn't contradict. And if you look at our ancestors, they held the book in so much, with so much reverence and awe, and it was central to them. The family Bible was a central to the family itself. All the births and the deaths and the marriages would be recorded in it. Everybody would know these Bible stories off by heart. And it was so that people could read the Bible that we were taught how to read. Because unlike Islam, which says everybody just has to obey Sharia law, no matter what, and they can be forced to do that at the point of a sword, Christianity says, well, you must come to it through free will. And the best way to come to Christianity through free will is to be able to, is to study it and understand it for yourself, so that it is a free and not coerced acceptance of it that takes place. And these are some of the reasons why I say that white nationalism should be supportive of Christianity. And to be anti-Christian, to be anti-Christ, is to be anti the white race, because the two are so closely tied up together. Anyway, I could go on for much longer on this, and I am limited for half an hour. I hope I have covered the basic points of why white nationalists need to be supportive of Christianity. Anyway, I will be back tomorrow with Nat Dainlaw, so I'll see you all again then. God bless, and hail victory.